I want to read three well-known passages with you from the Word of God. First of all, the Old Testament in Jeremiah chapter 8. And after the book of Isaiah, Jeremiah. We have to read in verse 6. I hearkened and heard, but they spake not aright. No man repented of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Everyone turneth to his course as the horse rusheth into the battle. Yea, the stork in the heaven knoweth her appointed times, and the turtle and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their time. But my people know not the judgment of the Lord. Verse 9. The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of the Lord. And what wisdom is in man? Verse 12. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither did they blush. Therefore shall they fall among them that fall. In the time of their visitation they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Verse 20. The harvest is past. The summer is ended. And we are not saved. Turn to your New Testament right after John's Gospel to the book of Acts, chapter 16. Read verse 25, Paul and Silas have been cast into prison. Verse 25, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loose. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, drew out a sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. And he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. Now last of all, in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27, we'll commence to read at verse 19. When he, that is Pontius Pilate, was sat down in the judgment seat, his wife sat unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of them. The chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, whither of the twain would ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate said unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, let him be crucified. Now we look to God to bless the reading of his precious word. We want to look at three questions that we've read from in the scriptures. For a few moments at the commencement of this meeting. Certainly not anything new that we're going to deal with tonight. We want to look at three types of sinners and the questions that three types of sinners might ask. It may be that there are those three types of sinners in this gospel meeting tonight. First of all, we want to look at the question of a careless sinner in Jeremiah chapter 8. The question of a careless sinner is, what have I done? Then when we go to Acts chapter 16, we have the question of an anxious sinner. Would for God to be an anxious sinner and let go into life? And like a dear Peter of old, the question in your lips and in your heart and on your mind tonight would be this. What must I do to be saved? Lastly, in Matthew chapter 27, we have the question of an undecided sinner. Maybe an undecided sinner in the meeting tonight. And the question that Pilate asked, the question of the undecided sinner is this. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? So first of all, I want you to think of the question of a careless sinner. What have I done? Sometimes I use the illustration, you've heard it tonight, the tape recorder going. My wife doesn't like me mentioning it on the platform. I don't know if she knows I've ever used this as an illustration. It's like this many years ago. I hope she'll forgive me. The one time in Ontario, the place that we lived, she was traveling with a friend to another city, and they were passing through a smaller community on their way to the city. And of course, this woman kept talking. She was busy talking to her friend, and hadn't noticed that she came into this little community, and the speed limit had dropped from 80 kilometers to 50, and she was doing the 80 kilometers. And then a little while she looked in her rear view mirror, and there was a police car behind her, and the flashes were going. And she made a comment to her friend, "Oh, there's a police car behind me, I wonder who he's after." And they kept on going and kept on talking to her. And after another minute she looked in the mirror again, and of course it was still there, and she says, "I wonder if he doesn't pass you." And again, in a few more moments, still going on, the dear man pulled right up beside her, and he's pointing to get off the road. And she turned to her friend in all her innocency, and she said to her friend, "He wants me. What have I done?" You know, I know she was upset over the ticket stubs. I wonder what she's had in her life. But you know, it was just pure carelessness. Driving along, talking, paying no attention to the signs above her. She was just careless. Hadn't noticed the reduction in the speed limit. And of course she paid the price. And I'm afraid that that's the attitude of these people that we've been reading of in Jeremiah chapter 8. They are just plain careless. What have I done? And it may be that I'm speaking to someone here tonight. And I hardly need to tell you, as we look into this book, the Word of God tells us of a place called heaven. And it tells us that it's only those who know their sins forgiven and that have been cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus that will ever enter into heaven. And the same Bible will tell us that those who refuse Christ, live in their sin, and die in their sin, will be in the awful, painful hell, and finally in a lake of fire, to be lost for eternal ages. Now that's what the Word of God has to say. And you might be saying, "Well, that's not fair. What have I done? What did I do to deserve such a destiny as this?" I want to point out three things that these people have done that they can care less about. We read of them. First of all, in verse 7, gave the sword in the heaven know at their appointed times. The turtle and the crane and the swallow observed the time of their coming.
But my people know not the judgment of the Lord. Number one, they have been careless concerning the judgment of the Lord. We only have to open up our Bibles to see that we were born in sin. And as such, we are unfit for heaven. And you won't read in the scripture very long till you will discover that those who die in their sins will be impaled in the lake of fire for eternal ages. You see, God demands that sin be punished. He could not be holy and deal otherwise. After all, if God allowed us into heaven the way we are, heaven would still be as bad as earth. I want to tell you, I'd be glad when I hear this shout, I'm taken out of this world. A world that is no place for God. And that are ignoring the judgment of God. You live in your sin, and you die in your sin, and you will be punished for your sin. You do like these people, careless about that soul of yours, that will live for endless ages, careless of it. Ignore the judgment of God. Why don't you certainly bear that judgment forever? Why he's pointing to the skies? I noticed last week before I left Ontario, looking out my living room window, I saw the geese. There they are, and they're heading south. You know what this Bible says? The very birds of the air. They know when the storms of winter are coming. Where would they go to escape the storms of the winter? And yet these people are crying out, the harvest is past. The summer's ended. And we are not saved. Not ready to meet God. Sins have never been forgiven. The seed has been planted. The harvest has been gathered in. The summer has come to an end, and now the storms of winter will soon be upon us. These people are not prepared for the storm. I want to tell you tonight that the fierce storm and wrath of a holy God is about to drop on this ungodly city. You're going to pass through that storm. Or will your soul be saved when the Lord Jesus comes to be taken up heaven home? They ignore the judgment of the Lord. And then secondly, in verse 9 it says, wise men are ashamed, they're dismayed and taken. And lo, they have rejected the word of the Lord. So secondly, they are careless concerning the word of the Lord. I wonder, are you being careless tonight concerning what God has to say in His word? You know, we talk to so many people, and of course we're interested in their souls, and we ask them, you know, are you ready for heaven? Oh, sure. Well, when did you get saved? When did you become a Christian? Oh, I've always been a Christian. My friend, it's not bound in this book, just not bound. There's no one on this earth that was born a Christian. We were born in sin. That's why we need to be born again. It's like Nicodemus in John's Gospel, chapter 3. An older, religious man. And yet the Lord Jesus says to him, Nicodemus, you must be born again. You're rejecting the word of the Lord. Just my friend God's word tells me
And it tells you, you were born in sin.
God's word tells us that the wages of sin is death. Christ will be paid. God's word tells us that there's no difference. Here's one plane where they were in the poor and the gathered, the healthy, the sick, the employed and the unemployed, great men and small men, kings in the throne and prisoners in the dungeon. They all meet together in this plane. God says, no difference, for all have sinned.
I remember as a young man going up to the Common Road prison to say a Belfast one Sunday afternoon. I had been asked to go in and preach the gospel to the prisoners. You know, as I stood up in a town almost like this inside that prison, there was one young man I recognized. He was in my class in school. Well, he's just in for a few months. Stole a few cars, got a little joy rubbing as they call it. Good cop, there he was, in the place. I recognized another man from my hometown. He was a pine drunk. George Weir. George usually broke a store window just before Christmas every year so he'd get into jail and have Christmas dinner. Like the only good meal he got all year. But that was George, and he was there. And on the front row there were three men. I never met them. I see these, the pictures in the newspaper. Those men one night in the city of Belfast waited outside a pub in the darkness for a bartender coming out of work, shouting for blood. There they were, in for light. Edward Dupars, George Bookamundo, three men murdered. But when their appointed day before a judge came, they all heard the same sentence, guilty of charge. I was serving the time. No difference. God says no difference. All have sinned. Are you willing to accept tonight what God has to say about you? I put it as kind as I can. I say, dear Bible, you're a sinner through and through. You're not fit for heaven. You've been found guilty as child.
For all sin, I've fallen far short. Glory of God.
So they come to judgment. They rejected the word of the Lord. And then finally you'll notice in verse 12, it says, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No. They were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. They were careless about their sin. No sense of sin.
We're living in a world today that laughs at sin. We're living in a world that makes light of sin. But God will still punish sin. And my Bible tells me there's a day when men can laugh. But there's a day coming when the God of heaven will laugh.
And today, this will be God's day. What about your sin? You think back to Adam, first man in the Bible, for one sin, just one, is put out of the garden. One sin. I believe it's just that it'll be one sin to keep you out of God's heaven. born in sin. You're living in sin. Not your relationship with God in sin. Heaven will never see matter. Are you careless enough? You said to God, what have I done? I left a question in Acts chapter 16. This question from Peter Jailer.
A man who has heard Paul and Silas singing praises, prisoners that have been bound, that have been beaten for the sake of the gospel. And here they are singing and praising God.
And they're praying. I have no doubt that they like to pray for that jailer up above the prison house. God will wake him, deal with him, save him.
And God speaks to them. And he used an earthquake to awaken this dear man. And here he is coming in and falling down at the feet of this dear man. And he says, sir, what must I do to be saved?
Question of an anxious sinner. You're an anxious sinner here tonight? Perhaps you'll be in the gospel meetings before. Spirit of God has been dealing with you. Maybe you've even walked and said, you've tried to get saved. And it says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it doesn't seem to work.
You're trying so hard to believe, and it's not working. But perhaps tonight you're just frustrated. I want to be saved.
You may be believing a work. Because believing will never save you. It's Christ that saves. But 3 weeks ago, I was going to go to a conference in Armstrong, Ontario, with 2 hour drive from where I live. I had prayed about it, and it didn't seem of peace. And I decided not to go. Instead, the Lord seemed to take me down over the border in an 11-hour drive to a place I'd never been to before. A little conference in Hardwick, Vermont. I had done a complete stranger, the no soul there. And had a few little Christian small conference. Saturday night, we had a gospel meeting. And in the prayer meeting before that gospel meeting, I heard a man praying for a young woman called Jackie. I heard a father weep for a daughter called Jackie. And I had just sensed in that prayer meeting that this dear girl has been prayed for many, many times. 17 years old and still not saved. Sunday night, prayer meeting was the same.
It seemed to be everyone there was concerned about Jackie.
I shared the gospel meeting with another girl on Sunday night. Before I went up to the front of the little building, I asked someone to point out Jackie to me. And they pointed it out. I watched her during the meeting while I was speaking. Jackie really listened. And coming out, shaking her hand, I said, how are you? And introduced myself and just tell me, Jackie, are you safe? She bowed her head. Her eyes filled with tears. She shook her head. I said, well, Jackie, now that I'm here, I want you to know that I'm praying that God will save you. It would be an awful thing if a young girl like you should die and go into a flaming hell. Awful thing. And I watched Jackie walk away. No, but half an hour, 45 minutes later, a younger woman came to where I was and Mr. Gray, Jackie wants to talk to you. She took me to where this young woman was. I sat there with Jackie and I saw a young woman so devastated.
Just tears, like a picture of misery. Absolutely devastated. And using Kleenex and just reading them one by one. There's a bundle of them in the floor. Just crying your eyes out. Sat on the slide. I said, where's the movie? Son. I want to be saved. I don't know how. Let me see. I don't know how.
But the Bible, we went over a lot of scriptures. Is that maybe an hour and a half of that, girl? I felt the time come. I could go no further. Then you go home. Before you go, I have prayer with you. I pleaded with the God of heaven to say that your girl stood up to leave. The Bible reading that morning in the conference of Peter and Genesis 22, the story of Abraham and Isaac, they never touched the cross, substitution, Jackie was there. I said, you know, Jackie, I was sitting this morning thinking, during the Bible reading, as Isaac was taken off the altar, and there was that ram. And Abraham cut that ram and put it on the altar. And the knife was up. Down it comes and plunges into the heart of that animal and his blood flows. I was wondering, as Isaac stood back and looked at the ram, were he again? And he had been scared. I wonder what he was thinking as he looked at that ram. Do you know the girl's eyes opened? So wide. Oh, she said, Mr. Green, he died for me. He died for me. He died for me. I see it, Mr. Craig. He died for me. I want to tell you something. The man in the glory, almost 2,000 years ago, he died.
One of the glory tonight, and he loves it. And he died that you might know your sins forgiven. That you might have peace with God in heaven.
And I know that all is well in eternity. I have said, what shall I do? And then if Jesus will restore to us. You must answer that question in your own heart and mind before God heaven. We love you. We love you still. When I think of the cross, I see a proof of his love.
How will I ever know that God loved me? How will I know?
Calvary sins and all this.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only
begotten Son. What are you going to do with him tonight? Well, on that occasion, we waited for the answer of the crowd. And I'll tell you tonight all that happens in this hand. For your answer. All hands hush. They're waiting. Wondering. What are you going to do? With Jesus tonight. Are you going to accept him? Take him as your personal savior? If only if it's still in tonight. Check me, the Lord Jesus. Perhaps never to hear the gospel again. But he died without Christ, with a rich man, sinking with the flames of hell.
May God help you to be wise tonight as you make your choice. Maybe the last time. Maybe your final choice. What shall I do? Then Jesus, which is called Christ, all my child, trust him as your Savior.
Verses 1, 2, and 3, and 4.